Yeah, that was a great Shocktober, all right, but I'm glad things are getting back to normal. 8 horror movies in a row? Kinda took a lot out of me. How about you?
Yeah, same. Plus my doctor says I need to lay off the jump scares. So now that we're talking about the Bond movies again, I shouldn't have anything to worry.
Hey, guys.
Dave. What the hell?
Why are you covered in gold paint?
It's alright. Everything's under control. I may have mixed some Mountain Dew live wire with that mother's milk we've had from last Christmas.
Why would you do that? It was clearly expired.
I thought mother's milk lasted a year.
Of course it doesn't.
Well, yeah, I know that now. Anyway, I started a trip out of it. One thing led to another. Anyway, it doesn't matter. There's just such arguing about hallucinogenic mother's milk cocktails. We've got a job to do. Mike, reach into the top drawer of my desk for your mission assignment for this month.
Careful, Mike. It's probably not a good idea to touch him.
Code name, Goldfinger.
Stop! Look! He's gunning for trouble. 007. It spells Bond.
Shocking.
He's the idol of every woman.
Who are you?
Bond. James Bond.
The envy of every man. The nemesis of the treacherous Mr. Goldfinger.
Goldfinger,
a triumph in thrill-leading cinema entertainment.
The man with the mind.
A 3-time winner for Fleming's Secret Agent 007.
Who are you?
My name is Pussy Galore.
Isn't it customary to grant the condemned man his last request?
You've asked for this.
Come and purr over Honor Blackman as Pussy Galore. The female who is all feline. Also starring Gert Frober as Goldfinger. International cheat. International menace.
Gentlemen!
Goldfinger, why weren't we told the New York and the West Coast weren't on this?
Goldfinger, I made a delivery. Where is my money?
And you owe me $1 million.
Goldfinger, the man with a finger in every pie. His goal, Fort Knox, the world's biggest bank. His enemy, 007, the world's wiliest, toughest gentleman agent with a license to kill. 007, it spells Bond. James Bond, mixing business with girls and thrills. Girls and fun. Girls and danger. The hotter the danger, the cooler he takes it.
I think you've made your point, Goldfinger. Thank you for the demonstration.
Choose your next witticism carefully, Mr. Bond. It may be your last.
Do you expect me to talk?
No, Mr. Bond, I expect you. Bye!
All right, well, I think I could dispense with the English accent for now. Well, we're back, you guys. Goldfinger's back. Thankfully, you guys were able to get me out of the golden casing. I had left a small patch on my right butt cheek exposed.
Gotta let the skin breathe.
So you were able to get it off.
Yeah, and that is the base of your spine.
I have a very weird
shape. That's where
body.
Your spine ends, and you don't have to apologize for that. Just because you're shaped like a question mark, that's fine.
But I'm fine now. We're doing the Goldfinger episode, and all is right with the world. It was kind of funny. Like, I was thinking, because like the Bond cast kind of went on a short hiatus again during Shocktober, and it got me thinking, like, when we do the Star Trek episodes, like, we always try to find a quote-unquote scary episode that would fit Shocktober. There's not really much we could do with the James Bond movies in that regard.
Hey, this one was plenty spooky in some, you know, human decency ways.
What's scarier than sexism from the
60s? What's scarier than dehumanizing women?
We gotta introduce ourselves.
Oh,
Dave.
Yeah.
Well, I am the M of this podcast. I'm Dave. I'm joined again by my fellow agents, Jackie.
Please, I prefer pussy. I'm sorry, we're going to be saying that word
Was that an actual quote from the movie?
No, it wasn't.
Well, because I'm wondering, might like, as well is there a line where he's like, hello, Miss Galore?
She's like, no, please call me Vagina.
I must be dreaming.
Well, I'll admit, every time he said pushy,
they would say it so casually. Anyway,
it's so wild. Go ahead and introduce Michael. Get away with that in 1964. Anyway, I'm also joined by fellow agent Michael.
My dear Dave, there are some things that just aren't done, such as drinking Mountain Dew Livewire above 53. Oh, wait, Mountain Dew, scratch that. Such as drinking Mountain Dew Livewire 53 above the temperature of 38 degrees Fahrenheit. That's just as bad as listening to Apocalypse Video without earmuffs.
Oh! Yeah, I'm glad they got their little Beatles dig in there.
Yeah, the actual line from the movie was listening to the Beatles without earmuffs. Come on, Bond.
Come on, Bond.
Wrong side of history.
Yeah, really.
Well, that's shots fired, because, like, you know, I mentioned on the last episode that James Bond at this time, and it'll really occur with this movie, but James Bond at this time is, like, huge. He is,
oh yeah,
you know, mega huge. So he would be competing, in a sense, as far as popularity with the Beatles.
And this
he would
is
be on
60,
that same scale.
This movie came out in 1964, which is, like,
that's
very
kind of
early Beatles.
Well, that's yeah. just kind of right them hitting America.
They haven't even like got like amazing yet.
Well, sure, but it's, this is
they're big in Britain though.
Yeah,
right?
And
oh,
it,
for sure,
and
yeah.
it's a big like generational like you know masculinity thing too. Of like, oh, do you want those little long haired boys, the Beatles, or do you want a real man?
I
like
bet
Mr.
they'll like.
Bond.
Can you imagine being like the Beatles, like watching this, be like, oh,
oh shit, that's us! Oh fuck!
Well, it's like you got the Beatles doing that, and then you have all the parents and the audience going,
exactly. Yeah, all right, the dads right. who are like, the Beatles, fuck that. Hate that my teenage daughter likes that.
They're talking about holding hands. What is this?
They should be slapping her,
I hate,
not holding her hand.
I hate that thing that teenage girls love. Let me watch this movie where women are abused.
Well, it's like, it kind of makes me wonder, like, yeah, like, because the Beatles were kind of looked as like a counterculture thing, right?
Yeah.
Like, people were like, this is insane.
It's counterculture, and it's also, like, but it is, like, so sexual, too, because it's specifically teenage girls being like, yeah. holy shit, I'm losing my mind.
I don't know if they were, like, at this point, though, counterculture, because this is so early on. Where
but it is still the long-haired boys, the, like...
Yeah, but I think at this time, they were, like, I think they were more like the teeny boppers to the cool
sure.
Rolling Stones.
But like, that said, it's like... Like, you know, there's a that level of derision in there.
I think this is like making fun of, they're like the equivalent of like an NSYNC before Justin Timberlake went solo kind of thing.
Anyway,
let's
talk more
about
the Beatles.
This is that he's making these digs at the Beatles, but in the same movie, there's a character called Pussy Galore. It's you know what I mean? It's weird.
It's incredible. Because after we watched the movie, talking about that old series Austin Powers and how just literally like, you know, Felicity Shagwell is PG compared to Pussy Galore.
Yeah, you would totally think like
one of these is a
Felicity
parody
Shagwell
and one of these
is
real.
The Bond one, and then Austin Powers is like, yeah, Pussy. I don't even want to like say her name.
I'm sorry, Tits Out? What? Your first name Tits, last name Out? What
who
the
have
hell?
Who have we gotten? We'll get into this, but like who are the girls in Dr. No?
There was Honey Rider, which is kind of goofy,
Rider,
but it's not
yeah.
it's not Pussy.
Yeah.
Honey Rider and then
and
was From Russia with Love the serious one just
well,
like Tatiana?
Yeah, she yeah.
she
they called she her
like
Tatiana Tanya.
Name.
She had like a person's name. Oh my god.
Which is why Bond dispensed with her at the end of the movie.
Yeah, done with this bitch. I'm
done with you.
Oh yeah, should we talk about this film?
I mean, this was a pretty, this is, I mean, I think arguably this is the most popular James Bond movie.
This is like,
right?
This is like the one, right? As far as the movies go, like this is, we've talked about it in the last episode. So like Dr. No and From Russia With Love were huge successes, like big return on investments. We did the, like, I'm not going to do this, but we did the like inflation math and it like, they made a lot of money, like,
well, yeah,
in today's terms,
if
made
you're
a
making
lot of money.
Three movies in 3 years, it's because you know you're going to make your money back and then some.
But this is the one that, like, takes, like, a big success to, like, phenomenon.
Star Wars levels.
It's clearly, like, the most expensive looking of the three so far, and it is genuinely, like, really thrilling in a lot of ways that kind of the first two are in hindsight clearly like working their way up to. As we will talk about all of the horrific things in this movie, I want to acknowledge the cool shit too before I talk about everything I hated, but
it's definitely like it feels like they kind of are figuring out like what they want to make the series be by this point, and it's like,
yeah.
Really, one thing that I think it definitely has better, certainly than From Russia With Love, and I think better than Dr. No too, is like the pacing, which maybe is the editing.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I think it's like a Tarantino quote. I don't know who said it, but like when a movie feels slow or something, or it feels boring, it's the editing. And so I'm guessing maybe that's what they got right here. But this one is like the most snappy and easy to watch by of the ones we've watched.
It was, there's a lot of, like, car chase stunts, too, that, like, I remember us talking about Dr. No, like, the car chase stuff in that, too, was pretty cool, because we're, like, on location, like, in Jamaica. It looks cool, it looks, you know, but in this one, when it's, like, dudes trying to, like, shoot down Bond, and et cetera, you're like, this fucking rules. This is really cool.
And, of course, this is the introduction of the car.
Where's my Bentley?
Oh, he's had its day, I'm afraid.
But it's never let me down.
M's orders, 007. You'll be using this Aston Martin DB5 with modifications. Now, pay attention, please. Windscreen bulletproof, as are the side and the rear windows. Revolving number plates, naturally. Valid all countries.
Oh, yeah, the car. And you're like,
the car.
Yeah, man, this is a really sexy car.
Yeah, he's like, where's my Bentley? You don't have it anymore.
We've got
you
a way cooler one for you. And it's like, gadgets aside, even though the gadgets of the car are really fun and iconic, it's just a good looking car. It's just a real sexy car.
It's a car I imagine the Queen was talking about when they wrote that song, I'm in love with my car. It is objectively a sexy looking car.
A cool, sexy car. It just is.
The budget for this one was $3 million. Dr. No is like $1 million. Mm-hmm. From Russia was $2 million. And now we got $3 million. So this is like three times the budget.
And
of
you
the
see the money on the screen. It looks really good.
They go to KFC at one point.
They go to that KFC.
The money's on the
screen. We see the Colonel.
they got Colonel money.
They've got Colonel money.
Well, I was about to ask before we get into the plot. Was this a first time watch for either of you?
It was for me.
Oh wow!
It's as we kind of will talk about it, like, and with the first two that we watched, like, obviously there's so much from Goldfinger that just became like an iconic Bond image, an iconic film image, you know, like of the genre, of itself, et cetera. So I am very familiar with a lot of parts of this. I mean, yeah, the gold gals, the laser up between the legs, like it's all there. It all is really, you know, cool. But this is my first time seeing it. I was excited to see that laser make an appearance. It's exactly the kind of dumb bullshit you come for.
I mean, to kind of jump ahead to that, it is like a crazy wild like scene and setup, because it's like, we're going to slice you in half from your nuts to your head.
We're going to bisect you nuts first. Like, the stakes are high.
It is funny, like, that this is like this is the one. Like, this is the Bond. So this is my first time seeing it too.
And, oh wow!
Yeah, and it is crazy that, like, as much as Dr. No sets up Bond, and as much as From Russia with Love has some, like, oh, we're getting some briefcase gadgets.
Some,
like,
really solidifying some
this
stuff.
This is the one where it's like, oh, these are all the Simpsons bits. Like, this is like the...
the lines that I expect you to die, the, like, over... I mean...
I want to real quick put this into perspective, like, just up at the top, like, success-wise. So... $3 million in 1964, adjusted for inflation to, I'll just pick a year at random, 2022.
So, yeah, random.
Was $27 million. So cost $27 million to make, let's say that. It made $125 million, which adjusted for inflation to 2022 is $1.1 billion.
Jesus.
So imagine today, like, if a, like, movies make $1 billion today, but they cost like $200 million.
Yeah, it's,
like, imagine spending
27, like, for a movie, and a movie that looks this good. It's like, that's not even that much.
Yeah, imagine in 2022 someone spent made a movie for $27 million and it made $1.1 billion.
That's quite impressive.
I mean, that's like, yeah, I just imagine. I think we said this in From Russia with Love, but I see why they were like, we got to make these once a year.
We are literally printing money. Yeah, we are never going to stop making Bond
just
movies.
Just salivating, smoking cigars, pumping champagne.
But that's what makes some of the details of, like, casting even funnier, of, like, people that they were thinking about casting or were thinking about having back, but then that person wanted too much money, and so they... you know, recast or whatever, in particular with Felix, but also one of the actors considered for the part of Goldfinger was apparently Orson Welles.
No
but
way,
but he wanted
really?
Too much money, and they were like, yeah, whatever, fuck you, Orson. but let's, like, again, like, you guys are fucking printing money. You could have gotten Orson Welles in there.
I mean, this is a good Goldfinger.
It was.
And
it
he's
was.
Really oh, good. Definitely. It's hard to...
That said, Wells Orson really could have put some stank on it.
That would have been something.
That would have been incredible.
I just think... Ah, gold.
Gold.
Ah, the gold.
Well, I don't think he had quite hit that stage.
No, he wasn't.
No, that was from the 80s.
Yeah,
that,
it wasn't French, quite yeah. at the end of his... yeah, but... It would have been something. Not to say that the actor cast didn't do a good job, but...
Yeah, Gert Frobe, he is, I mean, he's one of the iconic
Is his name
James Bond
Gert
villains.
Frobe?
I mean, yeah, he's, you know, German or something.
Oh,
yeah.
He's German, okay.
that's no, fair. He's that's an actual fair. European.
And I'm pretty sure his voice is dubbed as well.
It is,
in
yes.
In Bond tradition.
Because, yeah, he spoke a little English, so they were like, okay, well, we but don't care.
I mean, I guess we'll get into it in the plot. We'll do the plot first, and then we'll circle back to our boy, our golden boy, Goldfinger.
Our golden boy.
Arik Goldfinger. Mike, why don't you briefly explain the plot of Goldfinger?
First of all, great song right up top.
Oh, yeah.
Best. I mean, yeah, this is the first.
I was
mean,
singing it all day.
What are
Could
our
you
songs?
Say it's the gold standard?
Okay.
I don't know if it's as good as Underneath the Mango Tree. But
which is,
that's,
yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's the one that we judge all these songs against.
But I think, Michael, you did say this when we were watching, that I think this is the first, like, you know, cool opening with the Bond song. Like, let's get into
yeah,
it.
Yeah, they figured it out finally. You put the song. Yeah.
We'll have our sexy lady opening.
From Russia with Love. I don't know how it goes, but it's at the end of the movie.
Well, From Russia with Love didn't have the main title in the beginning. Like, it
yeah,
was a
it's,
different song.
It's just right. sexy right. lady and some music. Yeah, and this one yeah. was like gold sexy lady, and put that gold finger tune right up top. We need the audience to be.
They cracked the code.
Swaying uh-huh. along.
And it's funny that you get, like, in the opening title sequence too, like, clips of the movie you're
yeah,
about
they're
to see.
They're projecting the yeah. movie onto the gold lady's like stomach and tits.
Like, is that there's got to be other movies that do that. That'd be a fun IMDb list.
Well, like, Mission Impossible does that.
Oh, does it?
Yeah,
but the old school or the new school?
Oh, without a doubt. Like, yeah. It doesn't really, like, spoil anything, but it's just like...
They're just like, James Bond will do some cool shit!
Well, there's like, I don't know why, but there's a moment where they're when they're projecting this image on these on these golden women, and there's a moment where you just see him putt, and you see the golf ball going, and I'm like, that's cool.
There's gonna be thrills and stunts, and Bond is gonna putt a golf ball.
How crazy would it have been if it was like another shot where you see the, it's like a windmill.
Yes.
You just see it going, doop.
Bond will do putt.
Well, all right, Mike, take us in to Goldfinger's lair.
Take us to the wild land of Miami.
Yeah, yes. It starts in Miami, location number one. There's like something that's happening in the beginning of this that it's like doesn't really matter, right? Like,
well, it's the classic Bond goes on an unrelated adventure.
Yeah.
In the beginning, just to kind of get you into the mood.
Yeah, and
apparently it's an adventure involving heroin bananas.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Oh, I don't even think this is Miami. This is probably like unnamed.
No, this is Miami.
No, at the very beginning.
Oh, the very big. Yeah, it's like yeah, they're somewhere in Latin America, yeah, and then they go to Miami.
Unnamed, like Caribbean island republic or something. And yeah, he like just blows. You see the classic. It does open with a pretty cool thing where it's like Bond is like in a wetsuit and takes it off, and it's the tux.
And he's wearing a tux underneath.
Which
I
think he did. He did that in Dr. No, I think. But
I don't know if there was the tux underneath.
It doesn't. I mean, at any time.
This was a first for that, Mike.
It was. This was the first tux under the wetsuit.
Yeah, he takes off.
I mean, that's a classic.
He takes off his wetsuit. He's got the tux. He puts his little red carnation in, and he's like, let's go.
I would want that in every Bond movie.
Right?
It doesn't have to be a wetsuit, but some like.
He has to take off a layer, and there's a pristine tux.
Yeah, some like. Field outfit he takes off, and then there's a tux underneath.
And I don't mean to interrupt your synopsis, but that is like the first sign that like, oh, we are in goofy territory now.
Yeah, yeah.
And I love it.
Me too.
It's real great.
Yeah. So he takes off the tux, and then he goes into a bar and like blows some. He's like set a timer, and it blows up, and everyone's like running out of the bar, and he's like.
And he like calmly walks over to the.
He is very much overdressed for the bar he's at.
Yeah, everyone else is pretty casual.
Everyone else is wearing like sweaty tank tops and everything.
And then he just like goes talk to a girl, and there's like an implication they have sex, I think.
Yeah, it's like it's the dancer, singer, whoever in the club, and then we cut to like a hotel room with her over a chair.
5 minutes we've got like exotic island location. James Bond has had sex with a girl. And he's blown something up and like completed a mission.
Yeah, and then we get that little champagne bit where it's gone warm. How déclassé! That's when she has like, oh well, we were so busy right now. Where's the champagne? He's like, my dear girl, there are some things that just aren't done. And when he gets up to go to the fridge, that's when he gets knocked out.
That's not yet. You're skipping ahead. That's
okay.
In Miami.
Sorry.
So he go after this successful mission. He goes to Miami, and location number two, and this is where he's just been like put up in this like fancy hotel, and
wearing the most luxurious light blue
romper,
short,
skinny little romper. Robe.
He has to step into it and like shimmy. It's pretty hot.
It's actually a really
like, squeeze his butt into it. Like
he's like, oh, sorry, are my gams too? That's good. There's a lot of like '60s Miami resort wear on display. And this is also when we get that. Honestly, it's like I have to laugh because it's so over the top when Felix comes by and Bond's like getting a massage from a woman named Dink. First of all, then she is dismissed with an ass slap and told that this is man talk.
Oh, this has got to be like one of the most I've heard of this scene.
Yeah. It was really something to witness.
I thought I'd find you in good hands.
Felix. Felix, how are you? Dink, meet Felix Leiter.
Hello.
Felix, say hello to Dink.
Hi, Dink.
Dink, say goodbye to Felix. Man talk.
Oh, Dink.
It's a it got me wondering. I mentioned a little earlier that like this movie's getting goofy now. He's doing crazy things where he takes off a wetsuit and he has like a fully nice, you know, tailored suit underneath. It got me wondering, like, because I think we mentioned this in the first two. Like, he does like, you know. His behavior with women is like oof.
It's already oof.
But But in this one, it like ratchets up like, you know, up by a million.
Yeah. It's really something. It's again, yeah. I know the time and place. I understand that. I know that there were still plenty of women at the time saying like, what the fuck?
Well, that it's sucks. The line of man talk.
Man talk. It's
literally, you got to put the clip in there. It's literally like they're like talking and he's like, go away, girl. This is man talk. And then slaps the ass. Like it's like, I think this movie, it like ratchets everything about James Bond up to 11, including the bad stuff.
Yeah, no, I would agree.
Which just makes it even more weird when he says that, because like I kept thinking like his the robe he's wearing is so high up on his legs. Like I'm expecting at any point like his balls are gonna be like on display or something.
He's gonna be showing some ball cleavage.
Yes, it's just that robe is insane.
I want Dink to come by and just like slap his nuts and be like, see you later, hunk.
Enjoy the man talk.
Enjoy your man talk, baby. Just someone truly slap that man's nuts.
Are we just we're writing Austin Powers right
yeah,
now?
Yeah, we are. I'm sorry.
Anyway, Mike, tell us all about this man talk that.
Yeah, the man
James
talk is basically like
Buddy Felix.
He's like, okay, you're here because you got to get Goldfinger. This is basically it. There's this guy, he loves gold. He
he's
loves
that guy
it.
Right over there playing cards.
Yeah, and he's just like this guy sitting there playing cards. And so James Bond goes up a stairs to like a hotel room where there's like a girl in lingerie who's like radioing with Goldfinger to like help him cheat at cards, mm-hmm. and Bond takes over the radio and is like, haha, I got your radio now, you can't cheat anymore.
And I'm gonna have sex with this girl.
And that's kind of it. Like, and then he like goes to have sex with the girl, and then Goldfinger's henchman like knocks out James Bond.
Here's a question I have. I might have missed it. Does he takes her back to his hotel room, right?
I think so.
I mean, I would assume.
Because I'm like, the golden balls on Bond to just have sex with that girl in Goldfinger's
it's
room.
Like,
it's like,
he
can
find
up.
You.
Yeah.
Even just well, in the same hotel, it's like, bro, he obviously can find you easily.
Well, it also made, well, yeah, because I don't imagine Goldfinger called the front desk like, are there any Scottish men staying in this hotel? It's like,
yes,
yeah,
sir.
There's one.
This whole scene is a little weird because I was like, why? What's Bond like? I feel like he's like kind of celebrating with the girl is like the mission's over, but like he just kind of like screwed with Goldfinger.
Yeah, all he did
really
was
like kind of
like mess him with him a little bit.
Wait, was the mission like, hey, this guy's cheating at cards, we gotta stop him?
I don't think so, but maybe it was just like our field agent keeps losing the cards.
No,
at this guy.
The because the. instructions from M via Felix were to observe Goldfinger. Yeah. And so he takes that to mean, right, I'm going to mess with his card game and fuck his secretary. I'm sure there will be no consequences.
Yeah, and then immediately he gets knocked. And this is now where we get the line, Jackie, where
with the,
he's like...
With the champagne.
Yeah,
and
the champagne.
It's lost its chill.
It's lost its... She's like, I don't care, bro. And she's like, oh, you simpleton. He doesn't say that, but...
My dear girl, there are some things that just aren't done, such as drinking Dom Perignon 53 above a temperature of 38 degrees Fahrenheit. That's as bad as listening to the Beatles without earmuffs.
I have to take my cue Viagra pill. I'll be right back.
Be right back. Give
and
me a
while
sec.
He's changing out the champagnes, that's when you get knocked out. And when he comes to...
The woman has been murdered via skin suffocation.
Gold murder.
Gold murder. And we get, yeah, that iconic, other iconic image of the gold lady just like laying on the bed. I was thinking about, I think it's in the Craig Bond movies, probably it's, what was it? Quantum of Solace, the one that doesn't matter. But there is a girl who gets, like, maybe not gelded like that, or gilded, I'm sorry. Gelded is when you cut the balls off a horse. There's, like, another kind of, like, woman is murdered, you know, being, like, dyed in paint or oil or something
oil,
like that.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure in that more modern one, they explicitly say, like, she drowned like this, which is... more horrific than the skin suffocation. You're just like, I mean, maybe they're equally horrific, but the whole thing of like, look at this, you know, beautiful, ornamental woman who died in complete agony.
Well, it's like, it makes me wonder how they went about doing this. Like, did they...
I was thinking the same thing.
Says she died because of the gold paint. So it's not like they killed her and then applied the gold paint.
Knock her out and then he sits with like a little paintbrush and he's just painting.
But that's the thing. Did they you know, we don't see the bed gold. Did they take her out and then like dunk her in the paint and then bring her back carefully? Yeah, they did a good job of not
getting the paint everywhere.
A bunch of plastic in the hotel room.
They had to take down, one of the shower curtains and
putting painter's tape around.
Not to cinema the whole thing. But I'm like, it's a messy way to
bleep
kill someone.
Out. You gotta bleep that out.
Yeah, it wouldn't have been as sexy if there was just paint splattered all over.
It was all drips and handprints and shit.
Footprints. And either all way, that. You still see some tape on the wall.
Obviously horrific, but also sexy.
It's a sexy death. That's what I was trying to do earlier. Although it wasn't because I was trying to kill myself.
You did that to yourself.
Anyway, moving on.
Let's not talk about
it. Thing.
And yeah, they call it skin suffocation, which is also a pretty like horrific kind of image of like, yeah, literally your skin couldn't breathe. You couldn't breathe.
And like now we go. So after that ends Miami. So that's now location two. And now we're into location three. London.
London!
And we get one of my favorite scenes in a Bond movie, Bond getting chastised by M.
That's like every movie.
I know, I love it every time. You weren't supposed to borrow his girlfriend, Bond.
Bond, can you literally... Wait, I had this in my notes of... What is it? Just of like Bond once again distracted by booze and pussy with fatal results. So a woman died, and now M
is
like,
literally just like sex and booze, champagne. Ah.
What was I supposed to do? There was champagne and a woman I wanted to have sex with.
I screwed with his card game. That's enough.
That's fine. Oh, I was just supposed to watch it. Oh, sorry.
Wearing my classic blue robe. I was in great form.
I was wearing my sexy little romper.
You should have seen it, Em.
My legs looked great. My balls were out. time for gadgets. Time for all of that fun stuff. We also get another little flirtation session with Moneypenny, and I still maintain that out of all of the problematic, you know, sexual relationships in these movies, Bond and Moneypenny is still like, I do like it a lot. I like their dynamic. They're back and forth, and they're like, oh, when are you gonna put a ring on it? Oh.
Now, what do you know about gold, Moneypenny?
Oh, the only gold I know about is the kind you wear. You know, on the third finger of your left hand.
Hmm. Well, one of these days, we really must look into that.
Well, what about tonight? You come around for dinner, and I'll cook you a beautiful angel cake.
Well, nothing would give me greater pleasure, but unfortunately, I do have a business appointment.
That's the flimsiest excuse you've ever given me. Ah, well, some girls have all the luck. Who is she, James?
She is me, Miss Moneypenny.
And kindly omit the customary byplay with 007. He's dining with me, and I don't want him to be late.
So there's hope for me yet.
Moneypenny, won't you ever believe me?
It's cute. It's fun. I'd much rather take that than man's business ass slap.
I just imagined like Moneypenny has like a file and somehow she's obtained a picture of Bond in his blue robe and constantly just like it's one of those things where like she's working and like, you know, she has that like inside her dossier, like in the middle.
Yeah, she just kind of takes a peek and she's like, yeah.
And they have some good flirting and then M is like upset about it or whatever. And then we get one of the best scenes in the movie, one of my favorite scenes like in this series so far, which is just Q showing up. Oh wait, well actually we're skipping over. There's like a dinner. They go to dinner like after he's flirting with
Money. He's like, wear a tuxedo tonight. Wear your tuxedo.
They have this like really the stuffiest like British dinner where you don't see the food, but I'm imagining it's just like boiled goose with like no seasoning.
Well, they do a good job of setting up that it is stuffy. Like the way the camera comes into the room, it's like this very long table and like I think M tells him like dress up for dinner or something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, in this literal smoke filled room.
It's the Batman table that's like the yes. super long table.
And they're like, I guess we'll all just sit at this one end. That's fine.
Could you pass the salt, please?
Couldn't we have maybe sat at the small table?
I don't carry salt.
That's something for the pores.
But I guess they're talking to, I forget who, it's some guy in like the Treasury Department or something or other. It's talking about gold.
Yeah, they're like, yeah, gold, Goldfinger's got
you know
the
what's
gold
cool is gold.
Anyway, brandy.
They're huge glasses of brandy
and it
from
like
the
establishes
huge
that, like,
decanter.
Bond is really knows his booze or he's... That they're like, oh, have another taste of this. M is like, have another taste of this disappointing brandy. And the like Treasury guard's like, what makes it disappointing? And Bond is some quote where he's like,
I'd say it was a 30-year-old fiend indifferently blended, sir. With an overdose of Bombois.
Well, I love this too, because M is in this moment is probably thinking like, mental note, I think 007 might be an alcoholic.
Wait a second. Does my friend James have a problem? No.
I must chastise him about this later.
So, yeah, he drinks brandy. And then we get the scene where Q, it's just like back at Q headquarters. And Q is now just like showing off the gadgets. And
well, one thing we should mention before we get to Q, they give him some Nazi gold.
Yeah, big old.
Oh, do they give him the Nazi gold at the dinner?
Big old bar of Nazi gold. Thing.
Like, yeah. Use it as like, you know, use some discretion, Bond. It's worth a lot of money.
So is this where they're basically setting up like, hey, so remember Goldfinger? So he's doing stuff with gold and we want you to like sell him. Like, entrap him with Nazi gold, basically.
He's doing something slightly worse than murdering women.
The series needs
gold somehow. We can't have it.
The series, like, still can't figure out, like, a coherent villain plot, really. Although this does towards the last half. But for the first half of this, I was like, man, Bond really, like, can't. This series, like, can't get, like, just a simple, like, bad guys trying to do X. It's always got to be, like, the most convoluted, weird thing.
I mean, well, in the beginning, From Russia with Love was not that convoluted. That was some kind of straightforward Cold War stuff.
It seems like the setup for this initially for Goldfinger is like, hey, he's smuggling gold somehow. We can't figure it out. We want you to infiltrate the organization, figure out how he's smuggling gold. That's kind of it. So it seems fairly straightforward.
Try not
to
fuck any more women on your way, James.
And that too. Yeah, please.
Try not to have sex with any women leading to their deaths.
Now, 007, we're going to give you a new car that is admittedly very sexy. We want you to not have sex with the car. Please, that is the only stipulation.
We don't care who you fuck as long as it's not the car.
Please, not the car.
Very expensive and has a lot of gadgets and we don't need you getting jizz all over it.
I never joke about my work, 007.
Well, let's talk. Although if you it'll slide right off. It has anti-jizz.
Don't worry. We've built in, certain risks.
Anyway, let's talk about the scene. The Q scene.
It's great. He shows like well, yeah, you have a new car for this mission, Bond. It's the James Bond car, the Aston Martin.
It's the James Bond car. That's weird that it's already named after me.
The James Bond car.
I like too that like James, I think this is like the first where James is like, you get a little bit of the dynamic that Q's like, well, if you have a little less than an hour to spare, I could explain everything. And James Bond is kind of like annoyed. And like
He's making like a jerk off hand gesture behind Q's back basically.
Well, and then we also get some great Q moments in the back, just setting up Q's laboratory, like crazy stuff going on in the
background. Oh yeah, there's like the guy getting shot with like a machine gun with a bullet.
He's like, all right, and takes off his like bulletproof vest. There's also that like Q and Bond's dynamic of like, and whatever you do, don't touch this. It's an ejector button. And
yeah,
Bond's
so
like, ejector.
Let's do a rundown of the gadgets here. So we got bulletproof glass, of course.
Yes.
So
standard.
An Aston Martin with just a few minor modifications.
Anti-jizz armor plating.
Mm-hmm. All right. there's in the, like, not the glove compartment, but like the, I don't know, whatever you call it, that's like by like the gear shift.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we got an armrest. So got by the armrest,
you got, yeah, there's two machine guns that come out of the headlights. There is an oil slick button. Mm-hmm.
There's like a smoke bomb.
Button.
Two cup holders.
Extra big large. Gulp
sized.
Big
power steering.
I would like a martini, shaken, not stirred, in a big gulp, please.
Rotating license plate.
Oh,
rotating
yeah.
license plate. That's cool. Well, I don't think we ever see that used.
Well, just to have, you know, so we can jump around every country.
I like it. Wasn't the rotating license plate the first thing, too? He's like, rotating license plate, of course.
Oh, good.
Good for all countries.
He has.
Do you think one of them was a vanity plate?
One says big dick for life. Okay, James, I did not approve that.
Good news, 007, your vanity plates arrived.
This says Beatles suck.
Come on, that's not necessary. Come on.
Then we have like the we have the GPS thing that's like a little.
Oh, yeah.
Very cool. I like that a lot.
The loudest radar, too.
It is. Every time they turn it on, it's like echoing.
Yeah, and I feel like when he's explaining it, so it's like beeping, and I feel like he was like yelling, like, so, Bond, it'll work.
This will work best if you. that's also just a funny kind of. You know, that being like one of the most technological, futuristic, like selling points of the spy car. And now it's like, oh, yeah, GPS, that thing.
Well, that kind of, yeah,
every single day.
1964, which is like, it makes me wonder if this was like one of those things where kind of like the communicator in Star Trek, mm-hmm. where it's like the technology in these fantastical movies, you know, brought about inspiration and got that technology.
And even just, yeah,
later,
the visualization of something that, like, you know, you might have already had an idea of like, oh, it'd be cool if you could do this or if you had that, and then it's, you know, as technology moves forward and expands and everything, it's just like, yeah, what if we just made that?
And of course, Bond's first instinct is like, oh, good, this will allow me to have a quickie on the job.
he says that. I don't understand the line of thought there.
So that I can know where the
he
bad
can
guy
trace
is?
Where
so
they're
can...
going. So he's like, well, I know where they're going, so I can have a quickie with a shaman.
I can keep one eye on the GPS while I'm getting my dick wet.
Oh, like, I don't have to try that hard to track them. I have time to, like...
to fuck around, yeah.
Exactly. Okay. Ah, there's a Motel 6 on the side of the road.
And everyone's just like, Bond, you're at work right now. Can you just fucking... Jesus.
You're a problem,
right.
Bond.
Would you please wear a suit? You're still in your blue robe. This is unacceptable.
You really should have put on full trousers at this point. Then he takes off the romper and he's got a full tuxedo underneath, but no pants.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, if we don't know it, but in that scene when he's having dinner with them and the gold expert, like, if you were to take his tuxedo off, the blue robe would be underneath.
He's ready
it's
for
romper,
anything.
A romper, not a robe, Dave.
Romper, excuse me.
Yeah, that's a little one piece that he's got on. A slutty little
one piece.
He's
got little shorts.
You saw him shimmy into it? Anyway.
So, the last thing in the car, the pièce de résistance, as they say, the French, is his gear shift has a little thing that pops open, and there's a red button. Classic line where it's like, that's a red button. Whatever you do,
don't press it.
Beep.
Why not? Because you'll release the section of the roof and engage and then fire the passenger seat ejector.
Well, here's the thing. That is such as cool as it is, that is such a specific scenario that Q is planning for. Like, well, of course, you will still be driving the car.
Yeah, you'll
and your
be the driver.
Will be in the passenger seat.
Some bad guy and or some girl you just fucked, am I right?
He doesn't say this, but the ejector is... it's a pretty low-key ejection that's going to happen.
It doesn't shoot them that far.
No
out
one's being
of
shot
the
up into the air.
You know, this is one thing that this is one positive I will give the film Spectre. They up this a little bit. When he uses the ejector seat inspector, he literally flies up and needs like a parachute to come down.
Sure. Yeah, you don't need a parachute. This is more like
driver's seat too.
This is more like someone's like tipping you out of the car.
Someone's like lightly tossing you.
Well, whoa. I gotta admit, this is probably Bond asking Q like, so listen, I kind of had a bad date the other night. So, I really wanted to just get her out of the car.
What do you do
somehow.
When after you fucked a gal and she's like trying to talk to you and stuff, and you already gave her 5 minutes, but she keeps talking? Like, what should you do? Q's like, got it. Don't even worry about it. I got you, bro.
I bring this up because it's the passenger seat and not the driver's seat. You would think the thought would be he's in a jam, he's got to get out, and it would shoot him very high up if he was driving. You know what I mean?
No, it's when you've got
the car off a cliff, he ejects out.
It's when you've got some clingy bitch talking your ear off. No, I was gonna say ejector button wise. I think my favorite kind of instance or reference to it is in Skyfall when Bond and M are driving off, and she says something kind of needling him, and then his thumb like hovers over the button. He looks at her like, huh, come on, you want me to? She's like, oh, shut up.
I like, we're like 40 minutes into this episode. I know, we have mostly talked about the Q car.
This fuckable car. Anyway.
It's the coolest thing about the movie. Can you play us?
No, no, I think that's fair.
We haven't even gotten to Miss Galore.
70% the car, 30% his blue romper.
Okay. Well, anyway, he's off. He's going to Switzerland first?
Is that when we get to Switzerland?
Yes. I mean, he has this golf game.
I was focusing on the locations because this is really the coolest. Like,
beautiful.
We are truly jet setting in this.
He's 4K, just like so beautiful. Those green hills.
It makes me want to go to Switzerland.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks beautiful. So yeah, he's in Switzerland with like, is this where he golfs?
Well, I think first, do they have the golf game first or that?
The golf game comes first before he goes
before
to Switzerland.
And before he meets Tilly, the assassin.
Oh, he golfs
this
in London.
This is where, this is my favorite scene in the movie, the golf scene. Because it involves Bond being Bond, but he's not doing like crazy, you know,
he's golfing with Goldfinger.
He's golfing with Goldfinger, and he does a kind of...
Goldfinger, like, totally knows who he is, I think, but they're, like, not talking about it. And this is where, basically, James Bond is like, I'm going to golf with Goldfinger to, like, try and entrap him in the gold smuggling thing. So I'm going to show off my Nazi gold and be like, hey, I can get you more where that came from.
How about a friendly wager? It's also where we meet Oddjob, right? The manservant.
Yeah, we finally get to see Oddjob in full.
Our job's pretty cool.
He's, I mean, the hat trick we'll get to, but it's pretty fucking cool.
He crushes the golf ball.
He can crush golf balls with his bare hands. But yeah, we get that cool kind of Bond trickery where he knows that Goldfinger's like doing a switcheroo with the golf balls to cheat. And so Bond is like, I'll do some too then, fuck you. And he like, you know, we'll switch the balls around or like, you know, do this or that. And then he wins the golf game by like a technicality, which pisses off Goldfinger.
Well, I love, one of my favorite things about this scene is I love how on board the James Bond's caddy is with all
this. That old guy.
Yeah. Oh yeah, he's so excited.
He's just like, oh, we're tricking people, huh?
His caddy's basically Dave. Like, wow, this is cool.
Oh, what are we doing?
James Bond is
cool.
Really doing cool James Bond stuff.
If that's his original ball, I'm Arnold Palmer.
It isn't.
How do you know?
I'm standing on it.
Why, you crafty old.
Leave it.
The ball you found, sir?
Yes, Lassinger 7. Let's have a little fun with Mr. Goldfinger.
Wow, golly gee.
Well, it's like the coolest scene in the movie for me, and all it is it boils down to that moment when he has the ball in his hand, he reaches down into the hole and just makes the switch, and it's such a cool moment. It's like the tension is high when Goldfinger's putting it on his tee and it falls off, and I love that moment when Bond is standing next to his caddy and that happens. He like grabs his arm like, oh god.
Oh god.
The jig is up. Oh god. It's so good. And just like that moment of snobbery from Bond when he's just like...
You play a Schlesinger 1, don't you?
Yes, why?
This is a Schlesinger 7. Here's my Penfold Hearts. You must have played the wrong ball somewhere on the 18th fairway. We are playing strict rules, so I'm afraid you lose the hole and the match.
He's like, oh, I guess I win. That's weird. You can write me a check.
I'll take my Nazi gold back, thank you.
Thank you.
I would have loved to have seen him just like open up his vest and just stick the gold bar like in there, you know.
It's funny too that the bar of Nazi gold we're talking about, like, I imagine Nazi gold is just a piece of gold, but this has like a swastika, like an iron eagle. Like every Nazi symbol is just like,
well, I mean, this is, you know, Goldfinger's all about rare. I mean, he loves gold and he's all about rarity. He's like, ooh, Nazi gold. I don't have
probably
that.
He probably loved Nazis too. Well,
there's like
real.
Some line where there's like a thing where it's like, oh, this is from some like legendary tank of Nazi gold that's lost to time or whatever.
Lost to time. It's been like less than 20 years. Oh, Jesus. Anyway, so then, yeah, we get the first of the decapitating hat trick from Odd Job.
Oh, yeah, as they're leaving, he's like, by the way, lest you think you are too cool, look what Odd Job can do.
Check out my manservant. He can fling that hat really hard.
This is kind of
and he has that line, Bond asks him, like,
remarkable. But what does the club secretary have to say?
Oh, nothing, Mr. Bond. I own the club.
I just imagine, like, the club workers, like, again.
They're looking out the window,
lost
like, oh,
again.
What the fuck? Oh, my God.
There's, like, a line item
that.
Of, like, statue replacement in the budget.
Like, the head groundskeeper is just like...
Yeah, it would have been perfect if you just see a landscaper slowly bring out like a dustbin and sweeping it up like, ugh.
There's a couple people being like, okay, so
don't
we
think
have
I lost
to...
another game.
Do we have the sculpture dealer on call or no?
Yeah.
Okay, could you bring him in? Thank you.
We hate the rich.
I know they're making like pennies. Anyway, so then we go to Switzerland and we get those rolling green hills and the introduction of Jill Masterson's sister.
Or Jill Masterson.
Yes. My sister was murdered by Goldfinger. Remember when you kind of caused her death? Remember that, Mr. Bond?
Remember when you had sex with that lady you didn't know?
And then 30 minutes later, she was dead. But yeah, so she's Bond is watching Goldfinger, and then Tilly is watching Bond.
Bond is basically like, is he trying to kill Goldfinger at this point?
I think he's still watching him. Tilly's trying to kill
him. He has a gun out. Like, doesn't his gun, like, he has like a rifle.
I thought it was more for like the viewfinder kind of thing.
Maybe, but yeah, that's like the big thing is Tilly is like following, and they like kind of like tackles him.
She
causes him to trip the wire that like sounds the alarm, and they get caught.
Yeah, something like that.
You're skipping over a James Bond car moment.
Which one?
It's
when they're driving.
The race.
She makes an attempt on Goldfinger's life, and she misses. And then Bond proceeds to, he gets in his car, and he has like the little spinning buzzsaw hubcap things.
Which was not mentioned by Q, was it?
Yeah, I don't think he brought that one up.
And am I right that like, so the first time Bond is using his gadgets is just road rage?
He's
just mad at this
with
girl
some lady.
Who's passing him?
Well, he thought she was trying to kill him.
She did almost shoot him with a gun.
Yeah.
She clipped him. But yeah, then he fucks up her car and he's like, oh, I guess I'll have to drive you to a garage. And she's like, yeah, fine, fine.
But it's like, you got to imagine. He tries to pass it off like, oh, you had a double blowout. But no,
so
it's like
weird.
You see like a saw line inside of the car from the front to the back.
He's
You're like,
these are brand new tires.
Are you all right? Here, let me help you. You know, you're lucky to be alive.
No thanks to you. You should have pulled over further. Look at them!
A double blowout. I've never seen one of these before.
How could new tires?
A defect of some kind, most likely. Anyway, I'm so glad it's only the car and not you.
Yeah, I'm just like... It's like I didn't run anything over. Like, you got beside me and this happened.
And then, is it at that point that Bond sexually assaults this woman, or is that something else?
No, they don't get into any funny business. Okay. I don't think. Like, he drops her off at the gas station. Happens.
Cause there is, we'll get to it. I guess
towards the end of the movie, they save it.
What is the one where, he kisses like an actively struggling woman?
That's towards the end.
Okay. That's pushy.
Yeah. That's cool. Like at the end of the movie, they save that for the grand finale.
See, cool, he's not interested in someone with a regular name.
No, Tilly. That's a person's name. That's
like, I'll be perfectly willing to scoot up your car and get you killed. But you have to have a funny name for me to have sex with you.
I'm sorry. Do you have any kind of nickname kind of surrounding like sexual organs or boobs or something?
It's the only way I can get aroused.
I'm sorry. Well, have a nice day.
Yeah, and so this is like now they're like after he saves her after stranding her, he
drops her off at a gas station. He did literally the thing that you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean like
he stranded her at a gas station, help for her car.
I mean saves her after he caused the problem.
After
the
created the problem.
So then he goes to I think he's trying, maybe he's not trying to kill Goldfinger, but I thought he was. He's pointing a rifle at her.
Yeah, and it's at this point where he hears about like Operation Grand Slam and this stuff.
And this is, if I can push my glasses up a bit.
He doesn't even wear glasses.
I don't know if I haven't read Goldfinger, but I have read some of the books, as listeners may know. I've been reading some, and there is a short story that's
it's called Gold Pussy. What the fuck?
I think this is from Risiko, and basically there's a scene exactly like this where Bond is like in kind of a forested area with like a, trying to kill someone and like has like a sniper rifle pointed and he's like kind of ready to shoot someone in the compound. And then a girl shows up and he thinks that like the girl is trying to kill him.
I'm avenging my sister.
Yeah, the girl is like avenging her, I think her parents in the book. And like they get in a scuffle kind of thing and they both like try to shoot the guy or whatever. But it's a very similar situation. I'm wondering like if this is just a similar scene in Goldfinger or if like they're trying to draw from the short story
here. I think it's what you're thinking of. I think they were kind of drawn a little bit from that as well.
That was my first like Leo GIF moment where I'm like, I recognize that from the book.
Well, it's been a long time since I've read the book and my memory is that it's relatively close. I mean, as far as the big points, like you get the big scene of like, you know, all the one of the big scenes in this movie is all the gangsters like assemble like in Goldfinger's little rec room and stuff.
His rec room.
A lot of the big scenes are there, but I think the big distinction between the book and the movie is that in the book, Pussy Galore is flat out a lesbian, as are her flying circus, and you really get into the whole idea that Ian Fleming has got a beef with the LGBTQ
people.
Community,
oh, that's like, I feel like you said that also in From Russia with Love.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, in the book, like, this character is gay
so
and Ian Fleming hates gay people.
How so weird how this keeps happening. What a interesting
pattern. But they tone it down for the
what
movie.
Could it be?
That, I don't think they really get into that in the movie, though, do they?
The lesbianism? I don't think that's...
It's brought up at all. Yeah.
Not in this, no. So Bond gets caught after they like trip the wire or whatever. And this is like, I'm skipping a little bit here, but we're an hour deep. This is basically, he's tied up and he's on the thing.
He's on the laser slab.
This is
about
like
to
the
get
scene.
His nuts
this
lasered.
Is the, and then Goldfinger
oh,
shows
it's
up.
Gold
and,
too. We should point out,
oh, yeah.
I think he's sitting on like a gold table.
Yeah,
right?
Goldfinger
gold
says
slab.
That even. When he starts monologuing about
he's
gold.
Like, well, Bond, I have a laser beam and it is
and
very
I will
cool.
take
you
your
really
dick off.
Must see how it works. And just like starts beaming towards the bottom and it's like going up. And it is kind of cool because you see like Sean Connery plays it where he's kind of like, like kind of like realizing
crap.
This could be real bad.
So this is how it's going to go.
I forget if we mentioned before the laser comes into play. Tilly is murdered by Oddjob and his hat trick. So we get that lady out of the way.
Very disappointing that she's not decapitated. It just kind of hits her in the head like. Whoosh.
Yeah.
Anyway, we've got lasers to get to. We also get some villain monologue and the iconic do you expect me to talk? No, Mr. Bond, I expect you to die.
So here's something I have a question about. How, like, why does he eventually be like, okay, I won't kill you?
Because Bond, he mentions Operation Grand Slam, and he makes it seem like
available at Denny's $4.99.
Yeah, he's just like something to do with pancakes.
He makes it seem
eggs,
like
bacon, hash browns,
and a protein
for $4.99.
He makes it. He lies and makes it seem like his superiors already know about like details of it, and that you know, if Goldfinger kills him, they're just going to send another agent right away, so that if he were to spare Bond's life and just keep him here, Bond can't get any more information to his superiors and someone new won't be sent in. So he's kind of just like, he realizes he could just buy time if he spares Bond's life.
And,
so,
and then he just basically becomes like, well, you're going to hang out with this Bond for the next rest
come
of the movie.
Come with us to Kentucky. Well, come meet my pilot, Miss Galore, for first name.
Well, this is the thing about Goldfinger that I think is kind of unique maybe to this movie. I mean, this happens to degrees in other Bond movies, but this is like about halfway through the movie. This is once this happens, Goldfinger basically has the power position over Bond for half of this movie, mm-hmm. which is like, I don't know if they really do that again in the series. Like Bond is just under Goldfinger's finger for half of
his
this gold movie.
Yeah, Bond finger. Like kind of doesn't do anything. Like I mean, he doesn't like have any agency. Like he's not like he's not driving anything forward. He's just like a passive.
It kind of reminds me of Dr. No, where it's that kind of, like I have power over you. I'm, you know, doing my power moves of like, oh, dress him and bring him to me. And you're my little pet who I'm going to bring on my plane and tell my plans to, and you can't even do anything. And so it's like, it's a like, you know, showing control. It's like, I've got you under my thumb.
And
well, it's so, like usually that scenario involves like a big spectacular action sequence where Bond escapes, but that doesn't happen in this movie.
Just kind of goes with it. Well, there's a woman named Pussy here. How are you supposed to?
So this is Geneva, and then we get more globetrotting to exotic locations such as Kentucky. But I want to pause because there is another location that is one of my favorites in between the two, and that is the plane.
Yes.
This private plane they're on, which is like, it's a shame this is an audio podcast, but like, this is the most like opulent private plane.
Well, of course.
Just
it's
the bar
gold.
And everything they have back there, and like the chairs. Like, this is a, I want to
fly bathroom,
on this plane.
The bathroom, like,
oh, yeah.
It's huge. And this is when we meet Pussy Galore.
And yeah, he does. They acknowledge it. Like, they know what they're doing. Like, because
they know
yeah.
it's
she,
fucking
she says,
ridiculous.
Like, hello, I'm Pussy Galore. And he's immediately just like,
are you kidding? He says, I must be dreaming.
Really?
I must be dreaming.
I didn't even need to take any Q Viagra to get aroused.
It's, I mean, again, to talk about, like, the Austin Powers of it all, you know, a lot of vagina is 10 times more subtle than Pussy Galore.
I imagine, too, just, like, the actress, like,
cracking up. It's well,
Pussy Galore.
Well, no, if we can get into that, I'm over on the Bond Chatopedia.
Bond Chatopedia.
with regards to the naming, that they were worried about the censors, and they were
really
yeah for some reason they were originally going to go with Kitty Galore, but then this quote is great. They and Hamilton, the director, decided, quote, if you were a 10-year-old boy and knew what the name meant, you weren't a 10-year-old boy. You were a dirty little bitch. Which is something to say. Continuing the quote, the American censor was concerned, but we got around that by inviting him and his wife out to dinner and told him we were big supporters of the Republican Party.
Oh, wow.
So that's all it took, I guess. But
don't worry, we'll vote for Nixon.
Oh, don't worry. We love Nixon. We hate Pussy.
I read somewhere, too, that like it was something where like somewhere Pussy Galore was in print and they're like, hey, it's in print. Why can't we have it in the movie? They're like, well, you got us there.
That's on that note, continuing that the American censors didn't interfere with the name, but in the promotional materials, they used a lot of Miss Galore or Goldfinger's personal pilot. But Honor Blackman, the actress who played Ms. Galore. It's apparently she took delight in embarrassing interviewers by repeatedly mentioning the character's name.
That's
so
funny.
Good for her. That is really funny.
I can. We've talked about before, like what it would be like watching this in theaters. But can you imagine just
hearing
being in a
the
theater
word "pussy" like 100 times, and you can't even like if you're a woman, like you're literally not supposed to show like 2 inches above your knee at this point. Like the miniskirt has like not even been invented yet, or it's
Bond
like
trailblazed it
be.
With his blue romper.
Yep.
Ooh, you might be onto something.
And yeah, this is. I mean, this is 1964. This is like barely removed from if you were a woman. Wearing trousers in public, you might get a ticket. that like that shit happened. But yeah, here, my name is Pussy.
Well, it goes back to what I was mentioning before, really where it's so wild that he like calls out the Beatles, but in the same movie, they have all this. It's just like which one is more like, oh, this is destroying the youth. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. It's whatever the thing that girls like. That's what's destroying the youth. We all know that.
So she's a pilot.
So she's a pilot, obviously.
And she flies Bond to the final exotic location, Kentucky, which I guess if you're in England or the UK at the time, Kentucky is exotic.
Well, like, and they are specifically going to Fort Knox, where all of that gold is.
Well, they get everything Kentucky. Like, it's funny how comically Kentucky this is. Like, you get the horses, like the Derby.
Oh, yeah.
They're drinking mint juleps. You see KFC.
They go to... God,
there's multiple shots of KFC.
There are a lot of KFC shots. No, yeah, we go to...
I bet KFC back then. I don't know if the Colonel was still alive at this point, but I bet KFC was like... I bet it was good back then. I bet 60s KFC was like really good.
That's why it was such a big deal, is they were like, oh my God, he's seasoning food?
Factory farming of chickens hasn't been a crazy thing, so I bet the chickens were like healthy and like... Probably like more farm raised. I want this KFC.
Okay, well, I'm sure it was very good.
Like, this feels like a thing. Like this is more for like the Brits. You know what I mean? Like KFC, Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Fried Chicken.
They also talk about bourbon. They're like, oh, I hear in Kentucky your whiskey does not taste of piss and moss. You
wait
drink a sweet, pleasant whiskey.
Wait a minute, you're drinking an alcohol with a sugar base. Disgusting.
Notes of caramel. I prefer notes of algae in
my
whiskey.
Yeah, we're at Goldfinger's stud farm where they're drinking mint juleps, and he's got his rec room full of American mobsters who are all like, wait a second, what are all these other mobsters doing here? I thought I was your only American boyfriend.
And this is stereotypical mobster character.
All...
like, hey, what you want? Ooh, do what? Ooh, hey.
Gentlemen, Goldfinger, why weren't we told that New York and the West Coast were in on this?
Look who's talking.
I do not do business with Chicago.
I thought we had a private business deal to settle. Now I find I'm attending a Hoods convention.
Goldfinger, I made a delivery. Where is my money?
I made a delivery, too.
You all made the deliveries we contracted for. And you owe me $1 million.
They're all fully like, yeah, what's the problem, see?
And this is
Mr. Goldfinger.
These are like the mobsters you see in Some Like It Hot.
No, these are the mobsters from The Simpsons. These are Fat Tony's guys.
We're probably skipping a little bit ahead here, but this is basically like where I was gonna say Oddjob. Goldfinger like is like, I've assembled you all. Here's my plan. Let me tell you about Operation I don't know what he's not British, but
he's not. He's
let me tell you about Operation Grand Slam. And it's not anything to do with Denny's. It
isn't anything to do with eggs.
Now I know what you're thinking.
Or hash browns or pancakes.
He's built a very detailed and cute model of Fort Knox. He even has like little cars on the street and everything. It's like he had fun with this model.
It's so loving. It really is.
And basically the idea is like, so, hey, gold standard. You know, America has like lots of gold. Well, I'm just going to take all the gold. It's like,
well, not to take.
Well, that's what he says at first.
Oh, that's what he tells the mobsters.
He's like, I'm just going to take all the gold. Our plan is, you know, Pussy Galore and her pilots, they're going to fly over dispensing nerve gas that's going to make everyone asleep for 24 hours. Meanwhile, we're going to go and blow up the gates with dynamite and take out all the gold haha, like
perfect plan.
What I love about this scene in the beginning, he sets it up with he talks about opening up a bank on Sunday, and one of the mobsters is like,
banks don't open on Sunday.
Like, that's the biggest like thing that he takes offense to.
It's like, hey man. Hey!
This guy's trying to pull our leg. Have you ever seen a bank open on a Sunday?
You can't fool me.
Something's fishy here.
You can't fool handsome Johnny.
Hey, what's
Johnny?
In that trick pool table, too?
This guy's a wise guy.
But also during this scene, Bond is hiding out, like, under the model on the hydraulic
lift.
Bond
has escaped from his little prison cell, and he's, like, yeah, literally under the model of Fort Knox.
Yeah, he's just peeking his little head out.
Which is very cool. Model. So you see little eyeballs in the model.
And so he hears it all and sees it all. And
he's taking little notes. He's like, oh, two yeah. CIA, tomorrow, nerve gas raid on Fort Knox.
Yeah.
Yeah. Grand Slam, parentheses, not Denny's. Not IHOP or whatever.
And, yeah, not Denny's.
Or IHOP.
And then he, like, it's weird. He, like, gets found that he's escaped, but they're just like, go back to your room.
Hey, you go back in your cell.
Yeah, I know, right?
And then he's, like, walking around the campus some more, and one of the mobsters was like, hey, I actually don't want to be part of this. I think this is dumb. I want out. And Goldfinger's like, okay, I'll escort you out.
That's totally fine.
And so Bond meets up with him as he's like being escorted out and is like, you're not in the plan? Oh, sucks. Seems like a good plan to me. let me get the door for you and slip my CIA note and tracker device into you. So now the idea is the CIA can track this radar thing that they think is Bond, and they'll discover the note that Bond has written.
But then that mobster, Mr. Solo, is killed by Odd Job in his car, and then they put that car into one of those like car smashing things. So he's super duper dead.
He has a pressing engagement.
That's great.
I have to give it to you, Goldfinger. That was a pretty good one-liner.
You know how much I like puns.
So the note is not discovered. That's kind of a bust.
Yeah, we cut back to Felix in front of the KFC, and he's like, no, nothing. Okay, whatever.
It is funny that the CIA people, when they're tracking, because they think it's Bond that they're following, and they are like, oh, what is he, like, trying to go to a bar? There's, like, a line where he's like, where is he going? He's like, it's either alcohol or a woman.
He's either fucking or drinking. I don't know.
I know this guy.
Yeah, but one of the partners is like, should we go after him? And Felix is like, nah. Whatever.
I gotta say, speaking of Felix, a brief little side note on Felix. This might be the most square version of a Felix yet.
And this was one of the recasts that was due to the previous actor wanted more money than they wanted to give him. And this new Felix looks 20 years older than
Jackie
the other
O
guy.
Glasses.
Yeah, and yeah, no Jackie O glasses. And I think there was also a note on the wiki that this actor is actually a year younger than the previous Felix, even though he looks ancient.
Well, it doesn't help that he's wearing like this business suit, and he looks like a complete like square,
exactly,
you know what I mean? Like a narc.
OG Felix, like he was pretty cool. He wore his cool sunglasses.
Well, you got the sense that like he could also get into like the scrapes or like the, you know, the he could get into it with the ladies.
He, like Bond, could rough some baddies up and then go get a drink with a gal. And also not to I do have my affections for the Craig movies and
Jeffrey Wright.
I mean,
he's my favorite. He's
and
the best.
In terms of coolness and sexiness, once again, he'll bring it.
You can't beat this voice. Come on.
Come on, man.
Whereas this Felix is like, hey, James, you want to go to KFC?
Hello, it's me, Felix.
I got a
Tell
bucket.
Me about all your adventures, Bond.
Jeffrey Wright would be like, any more rompers? I'd love to show my legs off. Anyway, we're still in Kentucky.
This is where all the mobsters that were
being told the plan were killed, which is like kind of weird. Like, why do you even do this?
And
like,
wouldn't then all of those off. But then wouldn't then all of those mob groups be after you if you killed like a bunch of their high ranking dudes?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, I didn't think about that, but I kind of just took it as gold. Like, because he goes to all this trouble of having this big old like revolving pool table with this whole thing. This is him just
he
like
had
gloating,
so many
basically.
Gadgets in his rec room. Yeah. Yeah, he just wanted to show off. But
I mean,
then
the glee on his face when he's like turning all the dials and like, you know, he's like, you know, he's loving this.
He's having so much fun. is it at that point that we get his like true plan? He tells to Bond, where it's not about stealing the gold. It's about, like sabotaging the United States' gold to, with like a bomb, basically like
make it radioactive, make it radioactive, the value of his gold like skyrocket.
Yeah. So bring down the US economy and increase his own fortune. And, you know, like that.
Cool.
It's, you know, it's a good plan.
That's a cool villain plan. I like that.
I do too. Yeah.
Even though it has a super dumb name.
Yeah. Well, you got, it makes you think like, well, wait a minute. Did he seriously just grab this from the Denny's menu? He's like, oh, that's a cool shot.
I mean, he was finishing his breakfast.
I should say Grand Slam is a thing that's not from Denny's. It's a sports term for baseball. And I can see like it's a very American, like baseball American Grand Slam.
The Grand Slam. That's
We're
what
not
the Americans
sports people, Mike. We're Denny's people.
We're pancakes people.
I mean, yeah, you can tell I'm a sports person.
Yeah, we got a jock over here.
You're the jock on the team here.
We get the real plan, and then and I think we said, yeah, that Pussy Galore's role in this with her Pussy Galore's flying circus.
Is this is where it's after this scene that the assault happens.
This is cool. Like the smear, like on the negative, like ew, you know what I mean? Like this is
yeah,
like...
we get the full on yeah, Bond pinning down a struggling woman, but once they start kissing, she gets into it, which is sexual assault and a crime. And sucks just like, to watch.
It's just like the way that it's done. He is, I mean, she, it's just, this is literally a rape scene that
we
are seeing.
Yeah, no, she's
like,
fighting.
And the music over it is like tender love scene, but you could re-edit this movie with like it's, horror music.
It's, yeah, I had this also in my notes.
She's like hitting him. Like, yeah. It's like
no, it's
unequivocal.
Violent. It's violent. And, I have this kind of as like a note overall, but you know, can apply to this scene of, I mean, it's the most frustrating part of Bond that it's so like insulting and like actually violent, but also like really cool and glamorous and sexy. And, it reminded me of this thing I saw a while back.
Mad Men?
What?
Did it remind you of Mad Men?
Sure. But it's the whole thing of, it reminded me of, something I saw someone say about the films of Dario Argento, that like women love Argento and he hates women, but the entire feeling is like we've all been harassed and dehumanized, and why couldn't it just look that cool, you know? Like that's part of the fantasy of like, obviously I know this exists and this is real and it's happened, and why couldn't it just be as glamorous as the movies make it out to be? And because it's not glamorous in real life, obviously.
It doesn't, yeah, a rape scene doesn't involve you using judo moves on each other back and forth a little bit, you know what I mean?
And that's again, what is the most frustrating part of a movie like Goldfinger, where, as I said, like up top, there's a lot of really cool, you know, well done shit that I really like about this movie. And then there's the literal rape scene that I hate.
Did you know that was coming up?
I think you guys had kind of alluded to that. I forget. Someone, right. I think, said something. So I knew it was going to happen. And it's like, that's the thing again with Bond. Like, I'm not ever going to be surprised when he sexually harasses or outright assaults a woman, because I know what the series is.
I knew
it doesn't
that,
make it
like,
less disappointing, but it's, you know, it's not surprising.
I knew that that was like it. Something like that happens in this movie. Like that's something I've heard before. I think you might have said it, Dave.
I was honestly more surprised by like the violence in From Russia with Love, where he's like literally slapping her around, than just this. Because again, I'm like, I wish I could be shocked by sexual violence in movies, period, but Bond movies in general. And I'm just not. Yeah. So the downer bit of the whole thing.
It's a bummer that, like, yeah, like this, and like, yeah, they say later that Pussy Galore, because of this incident, she sends a word to Felix and the authorities, like, hey, it's going to happen.
And she switches out the nurse. Yeah, because there's a line when Goldfinger is explaining the plan, he's like, oh, the Delta 9 nerve gas is going to knock everyone out. And Bond is like, you know, it's like deadly. And he's like, hey, I do know.
Yeah, and he's so, like, 60,000 people will be killed. And he's like, eh, who cares?
But Miss Galore does switch out the nerve gas to something that is not deadly,
and it's that just knocks everyone out. The classic, like, switched sides because of that man who raped her. Great.
By the way, what made her call Washington?
I must have appealed to her maternal instincts.
Which, and I
love
this
it.
Is a preview of Thunderball, but they do. I get well. I guess to some degree, thankfully, somebody or someone said something about this scene. Like, that wasn't very cool.
Could we change this just a tad?
Just notch it that down just a little.
Because there's a difference between, you know, it is a fine line in other works too. But I think it can be done. The, like, sexy fight scene into straight up sex scene, like that doesn't have to be as, like, literally violent as this one, like, was.
Someone must I don't know, maybe they wrote a review or I don't know what, but this scene is referenced in the next movie to the negative. Like, they're like, the movie is basically saying, like, well, I don't know if it's so much the movie, but there's a character in the movie that is in the next movie that's basically like, yeah, what the hell was that all about? You know what I mean? You know what I mean? So it's like, it's more of like a meta thing. It's not referencing this moment directly, but it's more of like the idea of this moment that you could have, that you can violently rape a woman and suddenly she'd be like, I love you.
Oh,
you know
that's
I mean?
Great,
like,
that you did that. It changed my mind and now I'm good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which again, like, even, you know, time and place when this movie came out, like, there would have been women, you know, they probably were not very popular for saying this, but there would have been women saying, like, this is really gross, like, this is insulting, like, I don't find this cool or sexy. And because, you know, 1964, there is a growing feminist movement in America, and guess what, it's only going to keep growing throughout this decade and beyond.
I think there's a reason why this is, like, really popular with dads.
Sure.
Not so much moms.
Probably less moms are going to name this one as their favorite Bond.
Well, you know, there's one sexy thing in this movie that is not problematic in that way.
And it's that little romper.
Oh, the car?
Oh, the car. True. The moms see that car and they're like, yeah, I'd fuck that car. It's, you know.
This is the origin story for Titan.
This is, yeah. Yeah, Titan's mom saw that car and was like, hey. And again, not to keep jerking off the Craig era movies. Obviously, they have their flaws, but there's a little more, you know, nod to, like, yeah, let's, you know what's sexy is dudes. You know who can be sexualized on screen and it is kind of fun is Daniel Craig, Mr. Bond himself.
You get Sean Connery in the romper, though.
Get him in a romper. Get Daniel Craig in his tiny little shorts, too. It works. It doesn't have to be women in scantily clad clothes, you know, only.
It's a shame. You know, it's like, yeah, I get it in the Craig movies. You bring, and in Brosnan, for that matter, they bring the Aston Martin back. It's famous Bond iconography. Why not the blue romper, too?
Bring in some. Men Why should be wearing short
the same
rompers.
They're, like, taking it out of storage.
Ew, God, it's all made of terry cloth. It's been rotting. Craig tries to put it on and, like, the pants split and he's just like, oh, well.
Anywho.
Well,
let's get to the raid on Fort Knox.
Yes.
Like, this is, you know, and this begins, I think
good scene.
Yeah, this I think this is kind of the beginning of what will kind of become, like, a Bond tradition of, like, essentially two huge groups of people fighting each other, and it's this giant set piece with, like, people dying left and right, machine guns going off, people falling over railings, which is is one of my favorite action tropes.
No!
It's perfect.
I love that. That is, whenever someone falls over a railing in an action movie, that's like a star right there. You just got a star in my book.
Yeah, it's a good little bit. You know, basically they do the raid on Fort Knox. Goldfinger busts out his gold gun.
Low key, he's just got a golden gun.
Yeah, not really referenced.
He's like, what? I love gold. You guys know that.
I don't know. It's like, it's a good scene. They end up getting, eventually, you know, of course, Bond is trapped in the vault with Oddjob, and they have like the fight between Bond and Oddjob, which is a cool scene. And Oddjob is eventually like electrocuted, which is neat. Bond gets to throw the hat, which is cool.
Well, doesn't he do it? Like, he does it kind of funny. I'm trying to remember. Does he do the same side move that Oddjob does, or does he full on like a baseball? Like, yeah.
No, I think he does the same side move.
He does the same way.
Yeah, okay. and it like goes past Oddjob and gets stuck in the fence, and then that's why Oddjob like goes to pull it out, and that's when Bond electrocutes the fence, and Oddjob's like, and dies.
Which apparently the actor did actually get electrocuted during scene. And he, where was it that
he died?
No, he didn't. He did not die, but he did get a real burn. This is where is it? Where is it? The actor's name is Harold Sakata, and
he was like a wrestler, right?
Yes, he was. What was it? No, he was an Olympic silver medalist weightlifter.
Oh,
and,
wow.
And also did some wrestling. But he was described as an absolutely charming man. And he was badly burned during the death scene because, you know, Sakata, the actor, he was being burned, but he held on and, like, despite his pain until they called cut. So he was just a very dedicated guy, and he did actually get hurt. Thankfully, didn't die, but...
Well, you did lose the use of your right arm, so we will be giving you a voucher to the local KFC.
Excuse me, do you like fried chicken, Harold?
This movie only made $1.1 billion. We don't have much, but here's a free bucket of KFC.
And he's like, thanks, dude. Thanks, I guess.
Yeah, and like, basically, you know, he foils the thing that there's like the bomb is about to go off, and then is it Felix who shows up right away? Who's the bomb? Basically, Bond is like staring at the.
It's just like a bomb. Or
Bond
like a
is
bomb.
Staring at the bomb. That's like Specialist. A tongue twister, and he's like, I don't know how to disarm it. There's lots of wires. Oh my god! And then the guy shows up like right as it's about to go off, and he's like, boop,
got it.
And what does he hit it on?
7 seconds left.
Oh, it is 007. I didn't even think of that. Wow! Wow!
That didn't occur to you? It literally said 007.
Goldfinger!
Yeah, it was whoosh over my head.
Oh.
Well, at this moment, Mike was like, you know, he was scraping the bottom of the barrel of a KFC bowl. So
was licking his fingers for that seasoning. Like,
no. And I was getting ready to eat a Grand Slam.
Yeah. He was really distracted.
I was really full.
We wanted to do a big celebration for this movie. It's like, where are we going? All right, we got to go to Denny's. We got to go to Kentucky Fried Chicken. We got to get ourselves some mint juleps. Like, we had this whole smorgasbord in front of us. We wanted to celebrate the screening of Goldfinger in style.
Some brandy.
We are also all wearing blue rompers.
Smoking cigars.
Yeah, it was great. That's the only
it
way.
It smelled awful.
No, it was... Well, that was bad. But everything else was good. And I am keeping the romper because it's good luck. I think you guys should too.
And yeah, so this is like basically after this is that when they're just like, well, you got to fly off to meet the president now, Bond.
This is such a 60s thing to me. Like, you're going to meet the president.
Do you want to meet Kennedy? Yeah. He'll get you some pussy, all right.
I think this would have been Johnson at this point.
64, yeah, that's 64. True. Ooh.
We forgot to mention that, too. I think they said, I might be wrong on this, but I think one of the last movies JFK watched while he was president was From Russia with Love.
Oh.
And he also said that From Russia with Love was like his, he put that on like his favorite books of the year or something of the time.
I could see it. It's like very Cold War-y espionage.
Yeah.
Well, as he's en route to meet the president, guess who busts out of the bathroom? It's Goldfinger that with his gold gun.
Do not go in there, Mr. Bond.
I took a golden dump.
Gold dumper. Dumping.
And then they parachute out. Ian Pussy.
Yeah, he shoots the gun in the plane, which is the thing they set up in the beginning of the movie where it's like, don't shoot a gun. And Goldfinger gets sucked out. It's a weird effect. And like horrifying in a weird way.
That's not a good way to go.
His whole body gets sucked out of a little tiny window.
It's ridiculous, because especially when you see him flying around the cabin. Yes. Like, the
flying around the cabin is an effect that does not hold up, but it's kind of great. It's kind of amazing.
It's one of those things where I have to, like we talked about this with Dr. No, the bad rear screen projection with the car chases. This is, like, bad inserting Goldfinger spinning around in the cabin. Like, this is one of those things where it's like, did this look good in 1964?
No.
Even? Like,
no. They knew, because it lasts for, like, half a second.
Well, and it's,
know,
you know,
it's
you're
bad.
Suspending your disbelief and et cetera.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely. Yeah.
Him getting sucked out doesn't look as bad as him flying around. Like,
but then, Bond and Pussy
parachute out, and then they're like looking for Bond and Miss Galore, and Miss Galore is like waving like down here, and Bond is like no, and covers.
No,
her
I'm trying to fuck you first.
He's like, this is not a time to get rescued.
Ha 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 ha.
Oh no, you don't. This is no time to be rescued.
What we don't see is like the 2 weeks that they're on this island out by themselves, you know, struggling to survive.
Yeah, the next thing is a cut to like Bond like roasting her body over the fire.
You wouldn't
he's
believe
had to resort
how
to cannibalism.
Quickly I resorted to cannibalism.
Oh my god! Like the things you have to do when there isn't caviar around. And that's Goldfinger.
And that's Goldfinger. Goldfinger!
Oh, we forgot to mention the death of the car.
Oh, yeah. Well, she'll be back.
When does the car die?
The next one. But, like, what I find hilarious about the scene when the Aston Martin is destroyed, it's done by... He is done in by a mirror. It's just a mirror on the side of a building. Like 007's like driving down. He's done some cool stuff. We forgot to mention.
We didn't the scene
didn't
where he uses
the granny at the toll booth.
Oh, the granny
That's
at the
right.
toll booth with the machine gun.
That was great.
The real MVP.
Yeah.
Okay, so Mike, set the scene with the granny.
Real quick.
There's a scene where they're like in a toll booth and the granny's like the one who lifts the toll.
She has to physically like turn a crank.
And it's basically the toll booth to get to the evil lair.
Yeah.
The evil
and you're
compound.
Like, why is a granny doing this?
And so
this?
He eventually, gets in a place where he, like, escapes. And
I think that's when we use the ejector seat.
Yeah, it's before, right before we use the ejector seat. And so everyone's, like, after him. And then the granny's, like, shows up with the machine gun. And starts
She's
like,
ready to
oh,
take out
I'll
some fuckers.
Well, just for the audience, because you guys hadn't seen this before, Mike, Jackie, what was your reaction when that granny
oh,
came out?
Oh, I was
out
so pleasantly surprised.
We were like audibly like, whoa.
If we were that audience in 1964, I might have been there holding my nose at some aspects of this film, but if I were there and granny comes out with the machine gun, I would have been hooting and hollering in the theater.
Throwing the popcorn around.
Yes.
It's like, okay, so I gotta imagine the granny is there to like, it's basically like subterfuge, like nothing going on here.
Yeah. Oh, don't look this way. It's just an old lady at a toll booth. And she's like, I am packing heat and I am ready to kill.
It's not that she just comes out with like a shotgun or something, you know, like something that, you know, a granny could conceivably have.
No, baby,
it's not
an
old timey like rifle from the cottage
or
whatever.
This isn't a hunting rifle. No.
It's like a machine gun.
This is full on a machine.
I hope she gets...
In my headcanon, this is like Odd Job's mom or something.
I hope that she got paid in gold for her
Nazi gold.
Nazi gold for her work. And that she's just hanging out with her knitting and her machine gun and
Well, you get this great moment when they drive up to the thing and she walks out. She's like, hello, boys.
Hello, time to move the hello, good evening.
And Bond has a moment where he reacts like, the fuck?
Why is there a granny here?
Why is there this old lady there?
And that is also mom? when Bond uses the ejector, because there's like a guy who's like in the passenger seat who's gonna like shoot him, and he's like, haha, and he ejects, and the ejector is like the most ridiculous, like
it shoots him like 8 feet up in the air.
It's just it's a tiny little alley-oop.
And it's like the gentlest, like, oh.
Well, he shoots. Well, what makes it funnier is that it's clearly like a dummy that gets shot out of the car.
Yes, it's a funny effect. It's good. And that scene, we kind of glossed over it, but that is like, it's fun because it's like in one scene he uses every gadget in the car.
Yeah.
He's just like, smokescreen, oil slick,
bam, 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 shoot.
Like, I imagine
shoot
there's
guns.
A moment during the chase when he's like flipping the rotating license plate too, just
he's just clicking on it. It's like when you're like a kid at a God, where am I going? It's just a kid getting to buttons, being like, boop, 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 boop.
Well, it's like a kid like hitting like the locked door button, like chug 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 chug. You know what I mean? You're just pressing the buttons. But this gets back to what I mentioned before. So it is a cool scene. He uses the machine guns. He uses the oil slick. He uses everything in the car. But it's just a little disappointing that all it takes to defeat it is a mirror. Like, odd job, there's like a mirror on the side of a building. I'm assuming it's one of those safety things where you can see like around a corner or something. And all it is Bond, I guess, sees his headlights in the reflection of the mirror, and he panics. He's like, ah!
Speaking of the car and how, you know, if we were there at the time, how much would you have wanted one of the 1964 Aston Martin toys that they produced?
Oh my God. Thank God for merchandising is all I got to say. Because it's like, and this is also a period where like I've seen like old timey commercials of like the James Bond, like something, something kit. You know what I mean?
And you're like, damn, that looks cool.
Like disappearing ink and like write secret messages. Like that stuff is so cool to me.
The toy car was the biggest selling toy of 1964. Yeah, and you get why.
What about Oddjob's hat?
Oh, that'd be cool. Yeah, how many kids after this were like, please, can I get a hat? I'm like, sure, whatever. And then just practice throwing it.
You know, that's a question. Speaking to the hat, we're kind of getting into like miscellaneous stuff, I suppose, with the movie. But it's like, how do you hold it? Because obviously there's some sort of like knife lining in it or something.
It's
or
like
other,
a steel lining or something.
Yeah, I'm imagining it's just like a thin sheet of steel. So you it's not like sharp necessarily, but if you're throwing it with like lots of force, it'll like plink, cut you up.
If you are a super duper strong guy who can crush golf balls in your fist, then you can, you can throw that. And
that's why
someone.
It didn't work with Bond. It was all off when he threw it. Like,
he's
gotta
like,
have that.
Look,
force
I'm kind of strong, but I'm not that.
Oh, we should have mentioned in that fight between Bond and Oddjob at Fort Knox, there is a moment where Bond picks up a gold bar, chucks it at Oddjob, and it just like bounces off his chest. Which is just insane.
It's it reminds me of in The Princess Bride when Wesley goes to fight Andre the Giant, and he's just kind of like throwing his body at him, and Andre's just like, oh, okay. You want to try that again?
Because Oddjob has that moment. Anytime Bond tries to punch him or do anything, he just smiles at him. Like,
he's like, that's cute. You thought that was going to do something? That doesn't do anything, dude.
Again, like this movie just like, you know, the first two movies did a great job of setting a lot of stuff up, a lot of the tropes that we'll come to love with Bond. But this movie, just like you said, Mike, just dials it up to 11. And like this, from this point on, like this is what James Bond is. Like crazy gadgets, crazy over the top action, crazy henchmen. Like, you know, this movie was really just this one. They really got it with this one. You could say this is the Friday the 13th, the final chapter of James Bond.
You could say that.
I feel like we kind of mentioned Goldfinger on that episode, so anyway.
Before we're done, again, me hooting and hollering at this silly movie, I'm reminded of one of my favorite quotes from it, which was Bond saying, "You're a woman of many parts, pussy." Yeah, this movie's, as we said, very cool, so fucking dumb, and all very insulting, wrapped up all in one. And I would say I did overall have a good time watching it, more so than From Russia with Love, for, you know, warts and all. But God, it just... when you are more ridiculous than any parody of yourself, you know, that's it is impressive.
Yeah, I mean, in the song, too. The song is
The song was so
such a good song.
Fun fact about the song, so Shirley Bassey singing, but produced by George Martin of Beatles fame.
Damn.
And featuring, among other session musicians, Jimmy Page, who would later go on to
just
be
just a casual young Jimmy Page.
Led Zeppelin.
Damn. It's a great song.
Yeah, it's... it's yeah, they dial everything up to 11, including the bad stuff.
For better or worse, we are at 11.
It's just everything is up to 11, and I this is probably my favorite of the ones we've seen so far. I think like I like the more comic booky Bond, and this is like getting that, and it's like easier to the pacing is just like they I don't know they figured out like it's so snappy and it doesn't and For Rush with Love. I hate to say this because it's like kind of a generic thing to say, but it felt boring a lot of time. It felt dull.
Kind of bored watching that one.
I was not bored watching this ever. And while I have a soft spot for Dr. No, I think this is like, it amps up what I like about Dr. No a little bit more. And yeah, it's just, it's got it all. It's, you know, this is my problematic fave so far.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's hard to say because it's such an early memory, but I'm pretty sure, like, thinking back to my earliest Bond memories, that I want to say Goldfinger was one of the first James Bond movies I ever saw as a kid. So, which is perfect because it's a good first Bond movie to watch because, like I said, this is the one that established the formula, everything that would come after. So this is a good starting point, I think. And it's not like you would have to have seen Dr. Noah from Rush with Love to understand what's going on in this. This is a completely self-contained adventure, which is another plus I like about the Bond movies, that you can just jump in on anyone and enjoy it and not be lost. But yeah, I think this is one of the first Bond movies I saw as a kid, and it really made an impression. I mean, that car is just, come on, it's awesome. It's sexy, and I was talking about the car.
It's sexy and it's sexy.
It's cool. You know, it does all this cool stuff. Like I remember being enraptured with the fact that machine guns come out of the headlights. That was so cool to me as a kid.
It's just cool. It really is.
Yeah, yeah. It's just cool. And it held up apparently, like, you know, 20, 30 years later, whatever it was, as a kid, me watching it on VHS. So it still has the power to entertain. It's quick paced, and it's problematic as it is. It is still a fun movie to watch now.
Yeah, I would agree.
Anywho, so recommendations all across?
Yeah.
Yeah.
With an asterisk, I guess.
Yeah, with a big caveat that, you know, it is what it is. You know, as we said, warts and all. But the stuff that's good about it is really good.
Yeah, maybe during the scene in the barn with Bond and Pussy.
Maybe you go take a bathroom
Miss Galore.
Break.
Yeah, go to the bathroom. It's a few minutes long.
Go make yourself a mint julep.
I also just think it's funny that both of you are like, Miss Galore. Because I have been shouting the word pussy for 2 hours now. But
we don't want to get that. We want to make sure that this podcast is not explicit, you know.
Oh, perish the thought. No one here is allowed to say pussy except for me.
Well, James Bond will return in Thunderballs, right?
Thunderballs.
In Thunder
yes.
Testes.
In D's.
D.
Just D's. Yeah, I can't wait to meet the next love interest.
Slash victim.
Dick sucking McGee.
And just on an ending note, anyone listening, you can come into the store. We do have Apocalypse Video branded blue rompers for sale.
They're so sexy. They make everyone look like a snack. And that's the winter look.
Well, we'll see you next time with James Bond in Thunderballs. Thunderball.
Thunder dick. Oh, shit. I'm
D's
so sorry.
D's Thunderballs.
I'm so sorry. I can't believe I'd said that. Thunder penis. Sorry.
Dink, say goodbye to Felix.
Hmm?
Man talk.